God bless you, Brother Melvin. It's a good time to be back on the air again with you. I've enjoyed this for many years now, and we are thankful for that, and that we are on the program with you for the gospel for the glory of Jesus. Kiara AJ, 100.9 FM in the Antelope Valley, and Brother Melvin Slade has got us up and rolling. Thank you so much. Father, we thank you for this privilege to be your servants, to be your sons, to be your daughters, to be your children, even though many times we are so ugly, but you never turn your back on us, not one time, and we thank you for it. Now we ask you to bless us and give us wisdom on how to deliver this word, that men and women might be uplifted and even change their way of living. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I'd like to speak with you and wrap all of our thoughts around our 66th church anniversary theme. Our 66-year anniversary theme is the everlasting love of God, and that's found in the book of Psalms 100 and verse 5. And let me just read that to you so that you can keep that in your heart. 100.5. Well, let me just read the whole thing. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are the people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. And our theme words come from verse 5. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. When we began to look back at 66 years, now I have not been here all of those 66 years. I have been here for a greater part of those. Reverend R.E. Edwards, who is now at home with the Lord, started this church on April the 16th in 1950, right here in the area of Sun Village. A great man, a great mentor, and a great father in the ministry for me. And I cannot forget him. He tells me continuously, and each year I will not let his name go down. I put the Lord first, and right next to the Lord, there's R.E. Edwards right beneath him. And Edwards was a good father to teach me that I can't quit no matter what happened, because of the everlasting goodness and the love of God is all around us, in us, for us. And I was just talking to you, Brother Melvin, just recently today, and we're just talking about no matter how ugly you are, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter. Well, it just this flat doesn't matter. He's still good to us, and his love is everlasting. Now, I'm excited to share this on today to let the community know that our church right now is enjoying 66 good years. Now, I can't tell you that everything has just been peaches and roses in terms of what we call goodness or success. But I can tell you this, it has been successful, because the Lord says that it doesn't matter what it looks like, doesn't matter what it feels like, that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And that's found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. So I want to let you know that is not all that. I am not all of that. And I've been through a lot of things. I've been able to produce things that the world called good. I've been able to produce things that the world say is very successful. I've been able to do some first things in the field of engineering and gravity flow pump systems and all kind of stuff like that I've been able to do. But I want you to know that I recognize now in my life as I move along in life, I realize the fact that it was, yes, I did it, but where did I get the power? Where did I get the information? Where did I get the brain? Where did I get the understanding on how to do all of that? Well, he gave it to me. That's all it is. And so I want you to know that he could take that back in a moment's notice if I don't treat it good. This past weekend, I had a wonderful experience. I went to, I flew back to Memphis on last Tuesday and got off the plane in Memphis. My cousin, Jim Neely, picked me up, took me over to his house, put me up, and went out in his car lot. he deals with a restaurant called Neely's Barbecue all over Memphis. But he went out and his bond said, which car do you want to use? And I picked the big Mercedes-Benz, and he let me use that all the while I was there. But let me tell you what happened. I had to drive from Memphis to Pine Bluff, Arkansas, because I was going to speak on that Thursday morning to about 300 or 400 kids. Well, I got lost in Little Rock, Arkansas, and I couldn't figure out how to get from there to Pine Bluff. And ladies and gentlemen, I stayed lost for a little bit over 2 hours. Couldn't find my way out of there. So everybody I asked, somebody said this, somebody said that, and I tried all of that. And then finally I said to the Lord, Lord, listen, I know you in this, and I don't know what you're doing. And I ain't gonna worry about it. That's your problem. Not only is your problem of what you're doing, it's your problem that I get out of here. And so he had me drive up. I drove up to a gas station, and there was a guy sitting over to the side, and this was about 11:30 at night, and he had his hat pulled down over his face, and he's kind of reeling, rocking. And I said, sir, and he said, hey, what's up, bro? And I said, I'm trying to find my way to Pine Bluff, Arkansas. He said, oh, I can tell you how to get there, but you have to drop me off over here. Didn't? And he told me where he wanted me to drop him off. I said, all right, I'll take you. And I took a chance on getting caught with this guy, and he could have had some drugs on him, and we'd have both gone to jail. But anyway, here's what I want you to get out of that. He says, I'm on drugs, and I'm messed up. And my daddy is a preacher. Watch this. See, now, I'm now believing that God had me running around and around in town just for me to ride this brother who was a preacher's son and get a chance to pray for him, lay hands on him, and tell him I love him, and send him on out of my car. And when he got out, he said, sir, I'm going to quit this. And maybe the Lord just had you to tell me to quit, so I know I got to quit this stuff. And then he said, go right there, turn right, go to the next light, turn right again, and you're going to be on the freeway, and you will see it says Pine Bluff. And ladies and gentlemen, just as he said, and a few minutes later, I was in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. What are you saying, preacher? What's all of this about this everlasting love of God? This God loved that little monkey that got in the car with me. Ain't no doubt in my mind he loved him. Because he kept me out there 2 hours floating around nowhere so that he wanted me to tell him that God loved him. And I got the opportunity to tell him that God loved him just like he is. And ladies and gentlemen, don't let nobody fool you. And don't let nobody get you off key here. Because the thing that many of our churches have told, including myself, I've done it in the early part of our ministry, letting people know if you don't quit this, you're going to go to hell. If you don't do this, you're blah, 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 blah. But what God want me to tell anybody that I find that his love is everlasting. His mercy endureth forever. And God loved monkeys. Well, this is what I'm calling a little brother. And that's what I'm calling me. That's what I used to be, is a monkey. And you know what? I would be a monkey again if I didn't really trust God and let him lead me. Let me take you to an example of how much God loved his people. I'm going to take you to the 6th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. And I call this this book of Jeremiah, I call an example of how good God is. Now these people, they were whores, they were whoremongers, they were blasphemers. They were ugly folks. They were ugly folks. And they were full of all of the things that God didn't like. And God had gotten upset and he sent Jeremiah to let him know, I'm gonna draw a knot on this if you don't quit. And listen what the Lord said to them in Jeremiah 6, particularly in verse 16. Thus said the Lord, stand ye in the ways, more than one, and see, and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your soul. In the same verse, but they said, we will not walk therein. You know, I went to church back in Bahia, Mississippi, Olive Branch, Mississippi, New Zion Baptist Church, and I got involved as a child, and I was really confused at all of the things that I saw. I saw my pastor, Reverend Micaiah, and I'm sure by now, being that he was probably my age now, I'm sitting up right up here at 83 years old, but I'm sure that Pastor Micaiah is at home with the Lord. And I caught him drinking one day in the graveyard. He had his little bottle stashed out where he could find it, where he could get him a drink before he goes in to preach. And here I was, a teenager, caught him. And he looked at me and he said, son, I'm ashamed of myself. I'd like to make an excuse for it, but I just feel better if I can just have me a little drink to clear my throat. I don't get drunk, son. And I want you to know that your pastor ain't telling you to do this. Because God is able to give you what you need as you grow older. For a while I held that against him. And later on I understood the everlasting love of God cared about him because he was able to confess and recognize the fact that he was about to form a life in a young boy that has brought now all the way to 83 years old and now speaking into your ears wherever you are this morning. But God's everlasting love, even with Israel, and all of their ugliness, and all of their foreign ways, and all of their going against what he's called them to do, still loved Israel so much so, I believe the scripture come to my mind right now is Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, which says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first and also to the Greek. What you saying, preacher? I'm saying that God loved the people so much so that he gave up his son, his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him and believe in the finished work of Jesus on Calvary can have eternal life. I share with you another story, which is a true story. Years ago when I first started the pastoring, and by the way, brothers and sisters, God has allowed this jacked up preacher to pastor for 51 years, coming on the 18th of this month. I will have been here at First Missionary Baptist Church / Livingstone for 51 years. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm not telling you that I look at myself as being all of that. I'm looking at myself as being a divorced pastor. Wife is gone now. She died 7 years ago, but way before that I was divorced and still pastored a church. Did I feel worthy? Absolutely not. But the love of God brought me to order so that right today as I speak to you, I feel the presence of God. I feel the presence of God moving in me right now that lets me know that I'm his son and he loved me very much. And I'm so thankful for that. I don't know what to do. And I share with you this morning in tears that no matter what you have done and where you've been and how ugly you have been, I want you to recognize the fact that God still loves you. And all you need to do is to pick up yourself, get up out of the gutter. And the gutter is not the gutter as we understand gutter to mean, but the gutter is, what I mean, is stop living the low life. And I want to even tell you something else. You can't even stop by yourself. If God don't help you, you'll keep on living in the gutter. But if you allow God to pick you up, if you allow his power to raise you up, you will be able to get out of the gutter. And my son, I have a son that was way into drugs, so much so he didn't know where he was. And my son, Sylvester. And Sylvester was in the drugs a long time. And finally one day he called me at work and he said, "Daddy, can you come by the house?" I said, "Son, what do you want?" "Daddy, can you come by the house?" And so I went by the house. But when I went by the house, and he's a big dude, 6'3", 6'4", strong as an ox, picked me up and just throwing me all over the place. I said, "Boy, what the devil's wrong with you? Put me down, boy, put me down." He said, "Daddy, I'm through. Daddy, I'm through. I'm through. I'm through, Daddy. God done delivered me." And folks, let me tell you, he's been free from them drugs ever since. But God did it. He recognized that God did it. Does he go to church and do all the things he should? No. But does God still love him? Yes. So I want to say to every one of you that the everlasting love of God is present for you. Let me close by taking you to John chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. Shucks, I done lost my mind up in here. I just want you to know that God is good. I just want you to know that He's so good until all you have to do is to trust him. And if you trust him a little bit, in fact, I even take you further than that. You don't know how to trust him. I didn't either. He had to save me, he had to bring me to myself, teach me how to know that I was lost, and then give me a chance to straighten up. Well, I'm so thankful. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." Notice the word "should not perish," but have everlasting life. Listen to what he said in verse 17. "For God sent not his son into the world to condemn." I hope every one of you can hear this. God didn't send his son to condemn Henry Hearn because he got a divorce, or you because of whatever you did wrong. But that the world through him might be saved.
Praise the Lord.
Oh my God. Mm-mm-mm. Well, shucks, I gotta quit. It's over. Father, I thank you so much for the privilege to be here today and to be able to speak to those who will hear you and will change their ways today, because they recognize that a dummy like me can be saved and a dummy like me can live holy. So can they. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.